Joe Cinque's Consolation. Written and read by Helen Garner. The first I heard of this tale was in March 1999. I received a phone call at home in Sydney from a respected senior journalist. He wanted to put me onto a story he'd heard around the traps. Two young women, Anu Singh and Madhavi Rao, law students at the Australian National University, were being tried in Canberra for the murder of Singh's boyfriend. The journalist wasn't too clear on the details, but there was a bizarre touch. A special dinner party had been held at the couple's house before he was killed. Had the guests been told that the crime of the century was to be committed in the course of the evening? Anyway, Rohypnol in the young fellow's coffee, heroin in his arm, convulsions, vomiting, death. A dinner party? My imagination supplied with distaste a cartoon version of the scene. A candle-lit table of glossy students in their 20s, flashing their brilliant teeth and lashing about with their manes of hair, while in their midst, sitting modestly, smiling to left and right, believing himself loved and among friends, their chosen victim picked up his fork to eat his last meal. Apparently, said the journalist, the one whose boyfriend had been killed was head-turningly beautiful, the daughter of a wealthy family, spoilt rotten. The other one he hadn't heard much about, but the word seemed to be that she was nicer. He wasn't sure how to pronounce it or what nationality the victim was, but the name he thought was something like Cinque. If it's such a great story, I said, how come you're not writing it? Look, said the journalist patiently, I can do history, I can do politics, I can even do economics at a pinch, but I can't do psychology. He didn't spell it out, you're interested in women at the end of their tether, but I saw at once why I was the writer he had called. 4 years earlier, I had published a book of reportage called The First Stone about two young women law students in Melbourne who had brought charges of assault against the head of their university college. By questioning the kind of feminism that had driven the story and by writing it against the determined silence of the two women and their supporters, I had opened myself to long months of ferocious public attack. The parallels between that story and this one were like a bad joke. No way was I going back out there. As it happened, though, I had recently been forced to acknowledge that I was a woman at the end of my tether. I was 55. My third marriage had just collapsed in a welter of desolation. I was living alone in Sydney in a rented flat on the fifth floor of a building on the top of a hill. I had no job and lacked the heart to look for one. I knew I had to get out of my own head to find some work to do. The journalist, whatever his motives, was offering me a story. But what did I care about these students and their trashy adventures? It was only a feeble sort of politeness, the inability to say a straight no to someone who thought he was doing me a favour, that made me copy down the phone number of the journalist's contact and call it.